This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:43 in the evening. You're with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. And our next story is about GLCs. This is coming about because, when are we not paying attention to GLCs? They're such a huge part of our landscape. But also, Think Tank Ideas has just released a report called GLC Monitor 2019, which is looking at how they've been reformed under the current government. So some of their findings are, shall we say, interesting? Shall we also say perhaps borderline scandalous? the main highlight here is that Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad has shuffled the ownership of GLCs and GLICs, that's government-linked investment companies, in a way that looks to have benefited his political party, which is, of course, PPBM or Bersatu.
So we can celebrate the fact that Pakatan has sort of stuck to the pledge of not giving the Prime Minister the finance portfolio, but that might not matter as much because of these ownership changes.
Yeah, so one of the ways it's happening is that Khazana National and Pemadaran National Berhad is now placed directly under the Prime Minister's department, and it's giving the Prime Minister significant influence over these two companies, over how the two companies will operate.
So there are a lot of various highlights. I would encourage you to look through the report, actually, because it's really interesting reading. But the main idea here is that a lot of the GLCs that used to be concentrated under the Ministry of Finance has now been sort of parceled out to other ministries, such as the newly revived Entrepreneurial Ministry, also the newly created Ministry of Economic Affairs. So it's less centralized, but then we have to look also at who are the people in charge of those ministries. So that is where I suppose the interest and the worry is coming from. And, we thought, why explain it when we can get the person who authored it to explain it a little bit better? But if you have any thoughts on GLCs and this reshuffle, you can, of course, call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And as promised, we're crossing over now to Professor Dr. Edmund Terence Gomez, who is head researcher for the GLC Monitor 2019. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Can you walk us through some of the key findings of this report?
This is the first of a series of reports, what we call GLC monitors, which will review the state of play as far as the GLCs in this country are concerned. What we wanted to draw attention to in the first of these GLC reports is this: how has Mahathir restructured the GLC world? And what we're drawing attention here to is that we're looking specifically at ministries in business. And we have identified four core ministries that we would like to draw public attention to. That is the Prime Minister's Department, the Ministry of Economic Affairs, the Ministry of Rural Development, and the Ministry of Entrepreneur Development. Three of them are led by members from the Bersatu Party. Mahathir Mohamad is in the Prime Minister's Department, Rina Harun in Rural Development, and Mohamed Rizwan Yusof in Entrepreneur Development. We have also identified the Ministry of Economic Affairs as important. It's led by Azmin Ali of the PKR, but we argue here that Azmin Ali is very closely aligned to Mahathir Mohamad. If you look at these four ministries, you will find that the Prime Minister's Department now controls, through Khazana and PNB in particular, the largest publicly listed firms in the country. The Ministry of Economic Affairs controls some of the leading Bumiputra-based GLCs created to promote the Bumiputra agenda. The Ministry of Rural Development controls very important statutory bodies, which in turn have control of numerous GLCs. These statutory bodies include those such as Katanga, Kasada, Keda, Kajora. What is important about these statutory bodies is that they have enormous links to the rural areas, specifically the Malay heartland. And this serves as a mechanism for Bersatu to make inroads into the Malay heartland areas where they have very little support. And the final ministry is the Ministry of Entrepreneurial Development. This ministry controls or has very close links with the SME sector, primarily through institutions such as SME Corp and SME Bank. And in the latest budget, we were told that SME Bank is going to become even larger with a merger with three other development financial institutions. So the point we are making here is that these ministers have enormous control over corporate relations. Now, this is a worrying trend. And this is something that we need to draw public attention to and discuss.
Could you explain to us how the transfer of GLCs is made?
You see, when UMNO was in power, they merged the Prime Minister's portfolio with that of the Finance Minister. In fact, it was Mahathir who first instituted this practice in 1999. So we made the argument in the run-up to the last election that we must stop this practice because the Ministry of Finance, through a company called Minister of Finance Incorporated, it controls a huge segment of the corporate sector. The Prime Minister's department even then also controlled huge enterprises, including Petronas and Felda. So our argument was the Prime Minister cannot be holding such enormous control over such a whole slew of companies. Basically, what we saw under Najib was the concentration of political power and economic power. So what happened was when Mahathir came to power last year, we expected a dismantling of the system. After all, he called the GLC world a monster. But instead, what he did was, since he could no longer function as finance minister, he transferred some important companies such as Khazana and PNB, then under the control of the Minister of Finance, to the Prime Minister's department. So by doing that, basically, Mahathir had captured control of the largest publicly listed companies in the country. If you look at the top 10 publicly listed companies in Malaysia, 8 of them are GLCs, and most of them are controlled by Khazana and PNB. He has, in effect, become the de facto finance minister. This was the point that we wanted to draw attention to. Mahathir may not be finance minister, but he still has enormous influence over the corporate sector through his control of Khazana and PNB.
And why is it particularly important to look at the political parties who are involved here?
My contention is that if you understand the GLC world, you will then begin to understand the world of politics and what is happening here. So what we argue here is that a complex institutional architecture involving GLCs was created by UMNO. Through this GLC system, they can also control the corporate sector. When Pakatan took over, they knew, knowing very well how the system worked, after all, Mahathir himself helped create it, we assumed that they would then dismantle it to ensure that there's a break between this nexus between politics and business. But they didn't. In fact, they reinforced the system, and as I said, they reconfigured it to further empower. In this case, it appears to have really empowered one party, Bersatu. Now, why this is important in politics is that, first, through the system, they can create inroads into the Malay heartland. As I told you before, Bersatu has very little support in the Malay heartland areas. It's basically captured by PAS and UMNO. This mechanism, which is in place now, is a mechanism through which they can practice patronage to the rural areas. Through the system, they can channel concessions and support to draw electoral support. The second point is that directorships through the GLCs serve as a mechanism for political financing, and as well as to give these politicians a job, an income. The third point, which is extremely worrying, is that through this control of the GLC system, Mahathir has now said he's going to involve the country in a divestment exercise. So these GLCs are now going to be transferred into private hands. The question is, who are these people who are going to benefit from this divestment exercise? There's already talk that, for example, Plus may be divested, and among the people who have been mentioned include a former very close proxy of UMNO's, Halim Saad. We do know that IHH has been divested to Mitsui, and we're wondering why was it sold to a foreigner of all people. We also know, for example, the media enterprise, Media Premier, a GLC, which controls NST, TV3, NTV7, and so on, a whole slew of media companies, have now been taken out of government's hands and transferred into the hands of Syed Mukhtar, another well-connected businessman. Now, these things are worrying signs. Are we seeing here now a trend where important assets owned by the government are being transferred into the hands of well-connected people? If this happens, we may even be seeing the creation of oligarchs. That means well-connected people who have enormous control over the economy. Even if there is a change of leadership among politicians, these people will still have enormous control over the political system by virtue of the fact they have significant influence over the corporate sector. These are worrying trends. We are seeing this happening, and this is what we are drawing attention to in this report.
So what allows this mechanism to work, where once the GLCs are reconfigured, they can be used to channel concessions to gain support from their electoral base?
This is where the Bumiputra policy comes into play. Now, if you read the manifesto states very clearly that there will no longer be race-based policies. Policies will be now needs-based. But soon after coming to power, Mahathir and Azmin Ali collectively said, we're going to reinstitute the Bumiputra policy. They're backtracking. This is a significant backtracking on the manifesto. Now, the reason why the Bumiputra policy is so important is it legitimizes the transfer of assets from the government into private hands. And these private hands will be well-connected Bumiputras. Now you're going to see wealth concentration of an enormous sort in the hands of very powerful, well-connected Bumiputras, legitimized by the Bumiputra policy. This is something that we should be wary of. Is the Bumiputra policy, if they say it's so important, so be it. Tell us how you're going to institute it in a manner in which it will not lead to the wealth concentration in the hands of a well-connected elite. If they have argued they're going to introduce the Bumiputra policy, but this time there are going to be major changes in how they're going to do it, then please tell me what these changes are. I raise this point also because in the latest major policy document that they released, the Shared Prosperity Vision, they talk about a shared prosperity in Malaysia for all Malaysians. And then they bring in the Bumiputra policy, which completely undermines the Shared Prosperity Vision idea. So on one hand, there seems to be this rhetoric about a new Malaysia and about shared prosperity, but the reality seems to be one where we are heading back to political practices that we saw under the Barisan Nasional. And that's very worrying for all Malaysians.
And as you mentioned earlier, although Pakatan has on paper stuck to its promise of not having the Prime Minister hold the Finance Ministry portfolio, that may have been circumnavigated through the transfer of GLCs we've been talking about. What reforms do we need here, seeing as election promise of not holding dual portfolios might be in reality quite shallow?
Well, the first reform would be is that the Prime Minister cannot serve on the board of directors of these important institutions. The minute you have the Prime Minister sitting on the boards of Khazanah and PNB, I know this has been the practice in the past, but I'm against it. Because for the simple reason, Khazanah is the sovereign wealth fund and it is supposed to act in a manner in which it is supposed to go into major sectors of the economy, especially the risky sectors of the economy. And Khazanah today owns, as I said, a whole slew of very important publicly listed companies. With the Prime Minister sitting there, even if you have professionals, CEOs who are well qualified to be there, they ultimately will take the cue from the Prime Minister. So how Khazanah, for example, functions will be dictated by the desires of the Prime Minister, not by what is required of Khazanah. And it will not be implemented by an independent CEO. The second reform I would say is that these CEOs of these GLCs, since they are such an important segment of the corporate sector, cannot be reporting to the Prime Minister. They should be reporting to select committees, to a select committee within Parliament. And that select committee should preferably be led by a member of the opposition. So there is some checks and balance here in the system. And third, there must be great disclosure as to how these companies function. For example, if Khazanah is now selling off these assets, who decides how these assets, which assets are to be sold? Who decides who gets these assets when they are sold? And thirdly, and very importantly, where is the financing coming from for all this? Now, this kind of transparency, and this we must insist on, this kind of transparency is another major reform that must be instituted. They must declare publicly exactly what they are doing and why they are doing it. These are just some of the preliminary reforms which can do immediately. The other major reform that they have to do is they should ask the key question. Should the government intervene in the economy? If the government, we agree, it should intervene in the economy, and I think it should. It can do enormous good if it does intervene properly. Then how should the government intervene? In what sectors of the economy should it intervene? These are larger questions that we should ask. So what we need to do now before we reform the whole system is first identify the entire GLC complex, that world, which I can tell you now, we have only uncovered the tip of the iceberg. Second, we have to review what these GLCs are supposed to do. And third, distinguish the good from bad practices. Keep the good practices and get rid of all the bad practices. There's much to be done. But this government clearly under Mahathir has no desire to do all these things.
So who's responsible to look into these reforms? And in terms of whose role it is to hold the Prime Minister's department accountable, is it the Finance Ministry?
No, it's the cabinet. If many of the things that I've said here are in Pakatan Harapan's manifesto, why have they backtracked on all these things since coming to power? One clear example, should politicians sit as directors of GLCs? It's in their manifesto. They said it very clearly. No, this should not happen. So why are they still doing it? Secondly, whose responsibility is it to institute these changes? This goes back to the cabinet, the coalition. I would say on one hand, the senior management of the Pakatan Harapan coalition should have a big say in this. And secondly, in actual implementation of the reforms, that goes back to the cabinet. Now, if this is a coalition of equal partners, there should be dialogue and there should be checks and balances also in the Pakatan Harapan. My other contention in this report is it clearly seems to be coming true from this research that there's a new strongman in Malaysian politics, and that is Mahathir Mohamad, the Prime Minister. And why is the cabinet allowing Mahathir Mohamad to have such significant influence over what is happening in the GLC world? Why are they allowing him to have such enormous influence over Khazanah and PNB? Why is the cabinet allowing for some of the major GLCs to be under the control of ministries directly under Bersatu's control? These are important questions that the cabinet should be raising. These are important questions that Pakatan Harapan should be raising, and they should be held accountable for what is going on now.
Prof, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening. That was Professor Dr. Edmund Terence Gomez, head researcher for the GLC Monitor 2019 by Ideas, talking to us about that very report. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.